Hello. It's hard to follow these folks. They said everything I was going to say. Thank you very much. I'm joking. I think that contributing to this conversation around data disaggregation and the efforts that are being put forth to help equalize the playing field and promote health equity, I get to share with you today some analyses looking at federally collected data from the Health Resources and Services Administration. I will say that there's been a lot of progress made on the heels of the Affordable Care Act in Section 4302, in that the Secretary of Health and Human Services was supposed to come up with a responsive plan to addressing health disparities. One of those is setting new standard and guidelines to data collection on race, ethnicity, as well as disability status, primary language, and other things. But a large amount of pushback that some of the agencies receive is, what is the return on investment on some of the costs of implementing these surveys and data collection strategies? And there are many folks who feel that this may be more of an academic exercise than it is any sort of yielding any sort of informative information. And I think that as academicians do their thing and some of us folks who do research on the federal end do some data mining, it's important that we highlight those meaningful differences that we know that exist on the ground between population groups to show that these more granular data collection are important and that they underlie fundamental differences between population groups, right? And it's only one thing, right, to identify epidemiological issues between groups. I think what's more important is underlying those fundamental reasons why we see these differences, that they express in a way that we see differences between population groups. Okay. But that being said, numbers are incredibly sexy, and I hope to take you on a fun ride. Just so that we have a baseline on who the Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are, and Hopis are people who can trace their ancestry back to any of the original peoples of Hawaii, Guam, Samoa, and in the other Pacific Islands. These include Kanaka Maoli, Native Hawaiians, Chamorro, Samoan, Tongan, Tahitian, Fijian, Marshallese, Palawan, Panapean, Chukis, Yapis, Kazarian. So as you can see, we're incredibly diverse, right? And we happen to sit in the middle of the Pacific, as Dr. Panapasa said, a very vast, large body of water. And reiterating what Sela was mentioning, that in 1997, the OMB had officially acknowledged the diversity between Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders and the importance of identifying health disparities among Hopis distinct from Asian American populations. Classification standards for collecting and reporting federal statistics on race and ethnicity were revised to establish two distinct groups, Asian American and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders. Again, reiterating points, when we look at data or information on our population groups at a more granular level, we see that there are desperate outcomes. If we look at Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders standalone or separated from other groups, we see that there are vast disparities in life expectancy, huge disparities in obesity, and difficulty in managing obesity-related comorbidities like hypertension and diabetes, some very poor perinatal health. We also know that Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander mothers are less likely to access prenatal care or underuse it. We also know that there are tremendous differences in cancer outcomes, late-stage diagnoses, and the like. Well, so since I am presenting HRSA data, I have to say that the health centers, well, I guess I don't have to. I'm here at this conference on my own dime, but that's a whole other thing. That health centers offer a healthcare delivery model in a primary care setting that promotes equitable treatment. So I think that one thing that HRSA did was bring on disparity researchers like myself and Dr. LeBrun. She's going to wink and nod and not stand up. But to be able to evaluate and see how we're really doing in our health centers. So I'm going to give you a little flavor of our health centers using two different data sources. Don't get caught up in the trees. I think that the overarching story that I'm going to provide actually probably raise more questions than answer questions, but I think it's food for thought. We do lots of good stuff. One thing I did want to say is that the data that we'll look at as far as Pacific Islanders, it was difficult to control for other confounders because the sample sizes are so small, those asterisks, dots, dashes, and the like. But what we can say is that overall, about 93% of our patient population are below 200% poverty. More than a third are uninsured. Almost two-thirds are racial ethnic minorities. We've got a large proportion of homeless populations, migrant and farm workers, folks who are residents of public housing. So keep that in the back of your mind. So, okay. Now, zooming in and looking at our Pacific Islanders. So nationally, if you look at the numbers in the aggregate, about 1% of health center patients are Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander. So again, we come into that that argument. You're really talking about a numerically small population group. Why are you placing so much emphasis around these people? Other than the fact we're talking about lives, right? But I'll get into that later. We also know that Pacific Islander patients aren't distributed equally across the United States. More than half of our patients, of our grantees in Hawaii, are Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. But you've also got concentrations of Pacific Islanders in Anchorage, Alaska, or San Mateo County, or places like Arkansas. So one thing we set out to do with this set of analyses was see if there are meaningful differences between groups, between Pacific Islanders and other of our health center population groups, looking at satisfaction with care, access to care, and then health. So, again, the two data sources that we're using are the 2009 Health Center Patient Survey, which is a sample-based survey of 4,500 health center patients from across the country with the exclusion of Hawaii. Okay. But we are going to remedy that in our next iteration of the patient survey. So believe you me, there will be a substantial population, sample population to analyze. But I'm also going to complement that data with our 2011 Uniform Data System, which is an annual reporting requirement of all of our over 1,100 HRSA grantees representing over 8,500 health service delivery sites and over 20 million patients. So it's our story is pretty much going to be very interesting. It's sort of a case study and population approach. So in our cross-sectional analysis of health center patients, we looked to identify disparities in satisfaction with care services, access to care, obtaining needed medical attention, body mass index, hypertension and hypertension control, diabetes and diabetes control, low and very low birth weight babies. So some results from the patient survey. I think that overall you'll find that our Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander patients are reporting relatively very good an overall rating of their quality of care in our health centers. Seem to be very happy with the hours that the centers are open, convenience of health centers locations, prompt return of calls, time in waiting room, et cetera, and so forth. Another area is looking at delayed or did not receive medical attention. Here we see less than 10% of our Pacific Islanders report that they delayed needed medical care, and less than 5% reported that they didn't receive needed medical care tests or treatments in the past year. So far, the profile is looking okay, right? This should really be zero, but okay, less than 10% here. Just follow the storyline. But now when you start looking at some of the health outcomes, you see a different story. Let's look at hypertension. About 70% of our Pacific Islander patients report being hypertensive. This is an important one. And if you look at the overweight and obesity, nearly 8 out of 10 of our Pacific Islander patients report being overweight or obese. And what kills me is there's a recent report that came out citing CDC data ranking our states, including the District of Columbia, in order of obesity. And where do you guys think Hawaii fit?
Yeah, because there's no disaggregation because we have a lot of...
Somebody planted this one. Yes, absolutely. Hawaii ranked 50th out of the 50 states plus the District of Columbia. The data I look at don't look like that. So again, we've got a long way to go. And the importance of disaggregating information, right? Okay. Here's data from our UDS. If you look at our outcomes, you actually see that looking at control of hypertension, our Pacific Islanders aren't faring as well as some of our other groups in our health centers. And what's nice about the Uniform Data System, or UDS, we can actually disaggregate Native Hawaiians from other Pacific Islanders. So look at the second and third column from the left because, or actually the third and fourth column from the left, because some of that will change over some of the other outcomes. Again, so if our patients are relatively satisfied with the care they're receiving, and they say, look, I'm not delaying my care, and actually I'm getting care by and large, I think there's a mismatch or disconnect between the services that are being provided and how they translate into outcomes. Again, I think we wouldn't know this sort of information if we didn't look at this information at a more granular level. This is looking at diabetes control. And now take a look at our Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. Less than a third of our Native Hawaiians and about a quarter of our other Pacific Islander groups have a firm control of their diabetes. Right? Again, so if people are getting appropriate care, are seen well, they feel like they're being cared for in our health centers, they feel like, well, they're not delaying or they're not receiving care, then it should translate into some of these outcomes. Actually, we're doing okay in low birth weight. I would like to draw attention to our African American cousins because it's certainly an area that we need to devote more attention to. But I think that the conclusions I want you to draw to here is that you kind of have to look at the full spectrum of information, right? I mean, sometimes it takes multiple data sources in order to sort of paint an elaborate picture of what's going on. And this is just a perspective from health center patients. So the summary of results. Satisfaction with care. Our Pacific Islander patients report high levels of satisfaction with their care and services at health centers. As far as access to care, our Pacific Islander patients are satisfied with their ability to get seen, clinic hours, and convenience of health center location. Pacific Islander patients are less likely to have delayed or not received needed medical care in the past year in comparison to their non-Hispanic white patients. But when we look at the clinical outcomes, we see nearly 70% of Pacific Islander patients report hypertension. 4 out of 5 Pacific Islander patients are overweight or obese. Pacific Islander patients are less likely to have their hypertension under control in comparison to their Asian American patients, which tend to be aggregated together, right? Which distorts the picture of how people are doing. Pacific Islander patients are least likely of all other race ethnic groups to have their blood sugar levels under control. There are limitations, though. The person who did the data mining is absolutely brilliant, so we're just going to go move on. There are meaningful differences identified when Pacific Islander data are disaggregated. Again, that when we circle back to the beginning of the conversation, that when we look at groups in a more granular level, it's not just an academic exercise, and we're not just trying to parcel people out and put them in categories, that there are actually meaningful differences between groups. And that these findings highlight the importance of analyzing racial and ethnic data with more granularity, as proposed, well, actually not proposed, but standards set by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on data collection standards. And I reference a website. Thank you very much for your time.